Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, the place you come for freely spoken information, freely spoken news, things that you're not going to hear other places. Why? Because other places are censored and other places are full of BS. That's why you come here. Also, you want to go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button so you can continue to enjoy a not just a free speech zone, but a no BS zone. There you go. How about that? And go to nationalbugle.com. What are you going to find there? Well, you're going to find a link to the Koshertified app. You scroll down a bit. It's on the right-hand side. Because as I was saying on the show yesterday with Mark Collett, Koshertified, it is a template for the things we need to do. Whether it's, we need to do a lot of boycotting. Now, Koshertified is not a boycotting app. It is an app to see whether or not your food is kosher certified, but it's the same technologies, the same algorithms that you would need. It's the same kind of practice to download something on your phone and use it as a guide for your shopping. What is a boycott? A boycott is it's a guide when you're shopping. What products to look for, what products to avoid. The motivation might be somewhat different. So I'm not saying that Koshertified is a boycotting app. It's not a boycotting app. It's an app to make sure that if you want to keep kosher, you can avoid non-kosher certified foods. If you want to lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. If you want to lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, you can do it with Koshertified. So these are important things. What else are you going to find on nationalbugle.com? Well, right now, if you look at the other section on the right-hand side, at the top of the page, above the Koshertified link, scroll up to the very top, you will find a link to an article that includes the newly leaked George Floyd video. Okay, so that's something that you should be interested in. It says, watch, new George Floyd body cam video shows him resisting during Minneapolis arrest. And in case you haven't noticed, I've got the back in the background, you can hear the video. Now, I'm not listening to it now, but you can hear it. And I'm just going to leave it on for ambience. So you can hear what's going on with it. All right. George Floyd, in case you were distracted during the months of May, June, and July, and August, if you weren't paying attention, in Minneapolis on May 25th, an incident took place where, well, let me tell you what happened. There was a large black man named George Floyd, and he had a couple of people with him, but he was an unemployed bouncer at a nightclub. He was unemployed because of the whole COVID lockdown, and he was whacked out on fentanyl, and he had recently been taking methamphetamine. I don't know if he was whacked out from that as well, but they were both in his system. The autopsy talked about fentanyl intoxication and recent methamphetamine use. He'd gone into a store that I believe had a Korean proprietor, I'm pretty sure, and tried to purchase items with counterfeit money. And I believe he did purchase items and then went out to his car, which was parked out on the street in front, and sat there. The proprietor came out and challenged him on the counterfeit money, and Floyd didn't exchange goods or whatever. The proprietor went back in, called police, and Floyd was just sitting there. You might think that if somebody who has just used counterfeit money for purchases had been accused by the proprietor of having done so, he might have left the scene. But if you look at this George Floyd video, what you're going to find is that he was very whacked out and not fully in touch with reality. And frankly, neither were his. There were two passengers that you see in this video. And the two passengers got out. They weren't really the subject of this criminal investigation. George Floyd is very easily identifiable. His two passengers, one was a much smaller black man, and the other was a black woman. We were saying, I don't know what's going on here. He didn't even do nothing. But they weren't being arrested. They were ordered to leave the car and stand against the wall for a little while. But George Floyd is very large and very muscular. I don't know how tall, easily 6'4", and very large, muscular. He was a full head higher than the arresting police officers. So he was sitting in the car, and when the police officers came, he was uncooperative. Now, part of it, how much of the uncooperativeness was deliberate, and how much of it was just a function of him being whacked out? Because he was, what do you say when, I mean, you don't say high, you don't say stoned, you intoxicated, inebriated. He was whacked out from these drugs that he was on, the fentanyl and whatever else. And, he kept repeating things. He was having trouble following instructions. He was, first told to put his hands on his steering wheel, and he was saying, don't shoot. They're saying, I'm not going to shoot. Yeah, you can hear it. He'd put his hands on the steering wheel for a second or two, and then they'd leave. And was he doing that intentionally, or is just he was whacked out? Well, he was whacked out. Then they told him to put his hands on his head. He did that for a couple seconds, and then back down, and kept repeating the same type of thing. And here is the issue. Now, I've gone over his criminal record on a previous broadcast, and I don't remember the exact details, but I believe it started in the late 1990s, and he had most of his convictions were for cocaine-related crimes, but he did have a robbery and a home invasion. There were some more violent crimes as well. And between the late 1990s and I think when he was last time he was released from prison was 2014, I think he spent about 7 out of 14 or 15 years during that period in prison. So he was in and out of prison for a number of years. And it was in Texas. He's from Texas. He was finally released in 2014 and wound up moving to Minnesota. And the accounts in the news were that he moved to Minnesota and went straight, which, as far as I know, he didn't have any arrest record after 2014. He's older. He was into his 40s by the time he died. I'm not sure what year he was born, but I have the feeling he was born in the around 1972 or something. So he would have been about 48 when he died. So he would have spent like his late 20s and much of his 30s in and out of jail. So if you were to accept that he came to Minnesota to turn over a new leaf and had turned over a new leaf, now there is the issue that he was involved in pornography. I don't know what years those were. But leaving that aside, if, he had a job as a bouncer. Now, he hadn't been at that nightclub for very long, but, he had gainful employment. And then he was made unemployed by the COVID shutdown, and he was diagnosed with COVID on like April 2nd or something. Normally you would think somebody in their late 40s who is big and strong probably would shake it off. It might be completely asymptomatic, But he did have a heart condition. Okay, so anyway, the police go and they try to arrest him. He's not cooperative. They did manage to get him out of the car. It wasn't easy for them to get him out of the car, but he came out of the car and they immediately handcuffed him. So most of this incident, he had his hands cuffed behind his back. Now, if you look at this 8 or 9 minute video from Heavy, which was actually leaked, this is leaked video. What you can tell is we know that for the past several weeks, the Minneapolis courthouse has been allowing news organizations to view body cam footage, and there's over 60 minutes worth of body cam footage, which I suppose would be, you know, 15 minutes or so from each of the four arresting officers. There's some arrived earlier, some arrived later, so maybe it's 20 minutes each from one set and 10 minutes each from another, or whatever. It's something like that. So there's a lot of this body cam video available. News organizations and certain other people have been able to make reservations, appointments to see it at the courthouse. And apparently, somebody, when they were viewing it at the courthouse, must have stealthily, clandestinely recorded it on their own cell phone, which, you know, sooner or later you know it's going to happen. We don't know who did that yet. And then this got leaked to the Daily Mail. I believe it was the Daily Mail in Britain. And that's the footage that we're seeing. So you can see it's a video of a video screen. It is a video of a video screen, but you get the idea. And of course, as I've reported earlier, not the the cop with the knee on the neck, whatever his name was, but one or more of the other arresting officers, their legal teams have been calling for this footage to be released because, you know, what people have been shown on the media has been, let's just say, not entirely comprehensive. It's been very selective. So what you do see is that he was resisted arrest and this and that. Now, in previously released or a previously available video that was taken by bystanders, because the bystanders took videos and uploaded it, and so these were available. I guess maybe it was from a security camera. It was from a security camera, but this was previously released. You could see when Floyd was made to sit against a wall shortly after having been removed from his own car, which was an SUV. You can see that he dropped a baggie of white powder behind him as he wanted to dispose of it. He's served a lot of time for, you know, drug dealing and whatnot, and would not have been wanted to arrest. I mean, obviously, he knew that he was being arrested and was likely to go back to prison, knew exactly what prison was like, had spent a lot of time there, and didn't want to go. And so he was resisting. He wasn't exactly violently fighting. He wasn't trying to punch people in the face, but from at least from the angles that we can see. But he was resisting, and he was a very strong person, and he was resisting with a fair amount of success. It wasn't easy for these police to try to, they were ultimately unsuccessful in getting him into the squad car and getting him downtown, which was what they were trying to do. So also, he makes a lot of excuses. He keeps saying he's claustrophobic. He doesn't want to get into the car. Why doesn't he want to get into the car? Because he doesn't want to go down to the station. He doesn't want to go back to jail and prison. So he's making a number of excuses. Ultimately, he says he can't breathe. Well, and that was before he was on the ground. So he was already saying he couldn't breathe. If there's any fault in the police officers, you could say it was that they weren't recognizing that he was having a heart attack. And indeed, he was having a heart attack. And this is what was on the coroner's autopsy report, that he died from a heart attack that was brought on, or, you know, well, he had underlying heart condition. Then, of course, he had the drug use and the stress of resisting arrest, and ultimately the restraints of the restraining actions of the officer who kneeled on him. So, but it was a heart attack. It wasn't asphyxiation. And the thing is, this article that in Heavy, they show a 9-minute video from the Daily Mail, and the Daily Mail apparently got two hunks of video, two footages of video. One was longer than the 8 minutes, and then a second one that was shorter. So even this Heavy article is only showing you maybe half or so of the totally leaked video. So there's more that's out there, but presumably this would be the more interesting parts of it. And below it in the article, you'll see a 2-minute clip of NBC News. And NBC News is only showing, you know, maybe a total of 60 seconds worth of the video, no more than that. And it's selectively edited. The first parts that you see is just when the police are coming up and, you know, the door opens and Floyd's saying, "I didn't do nothing." Well, if you hear somebody saying, "I didn't do nothing," or, you know, "I'm not that kind of guy," if you hear it once, it sounds rational enough. But over the 8 minutes, when you hear them say the same things over and over and over again, it just sounds like a whacked out person. So it was selectively edited but the most telling thing in the NBC report was when they were saying this is leaked video, but NBC had already seen it because NBC had made an appointment to go down to the courthouse and see it. So the NBC had seen all 64 minutes or whatever of this video. And even so, even after having seen the video that is very much at odds with the whole, you know, "I can't breathe" mythology that has emerged. But they push it anyway. They keep pushing this mythology that the evil white officer kneeled on the guy's neck to kill him, when in fact this was somebody who had a long criminal record. And the most charitable thing you can say about him is, well, maybe he got his life on track for a while, but as soon as times got tough with the COVID shutdown, he reverted back to, he reverted back to drugs and crime, got arrested, resisted arrest. The technique that was used, whether you like it or not, the knee to the neck, the Israeli knee to the neck, that was regulation. It was administered according to regulations. I've seen the regulations. The New York Times had, these, if you're really observant, you can see, like, the New York Times had a video that was trying to say how horrible this knee to the neck was. And in the video, they showed for like half a second a page from the rule book from the Minneapolis cops, and then they blurred out most of it except the one sentence that they wanted you to see. Well, if you freeze frame and you saw the whole thing, you could see that if a suspect is actively resisting arrest, this was an allowed technique. Okay, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel, with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, we're not going to spend the whole hour on George Floyd, but I do want to kind of wrap this up. And we know that the Floyd incident was used as a pretext to roll out all these riots and the whole Black Lives, only Black Lives Matter cultural revolution. And, you know, it was used as a pretext to attack first Confederate statues and then just all statues, any statue of white people or whatever. So it was used. Now, was it on David Duke's show? On a recent show I was doing, I don't know if it was this show or another show, I talked about it was a David Duke show, I guess from yesterday, from Monday, and we talked about the Ahmaud Arbery, the armed robbery, Ahmaud Arbery case in Georgia from earlier this year, where he was confronted after having been followed. He was supposedly jogging. He was a jogger in Georgia, but he had been recorded multiple times on security camera footage at a construction site casing the joint, and then this construction site was the scene of much burglary of construction equipment, which is valuable and can be sold at pawn shops and whatnot. So he had been followed on this one day where he had gone and staked out the place. And he was confronted by a father and a son. The father was a former policeman, and they were both armed. And then he went and tried to
grabbed the shotgun, wound up getting killed himself. And that had happened in January, and the prosecutors declined to press charges because it seemed like legitimate self-defense. And that had happened in January. But as you might remember, in mid-May, all of a sudden that was being put into the national headlines, even though it was from 4 months earlier, and they were trying to hype it up as a case of, you know, an unarmed black man being murdered. Yet another unarmed black man being murdered. And so they were hyping that up. So I have the feeling that even if the George Floyd thing hadn't happened, they were either just waiting for the next thing to happen to roll out this this whole Black Lives Matter cultural revolution, or were reaching back a few months and saying, well, maybe we'll, you know, rather than waiting around, the time is ripe now. We're in the middle of a giant economic lockdown from the fake pandemic, or from, you know, I say fake. It's a real virus, but the response to it is fake, or is entirely inappropriate. So anyway, but the George Floyd thing happened. But what's really significant is that they just show you these still shots mostly, or 5 seconds, 10 seconds of video of officer, what's his name, Chauffin or whatever, kneeling on George Floyd's neck. And that's the only image most people have. That's the absolute only image most people have of this, with the exception of that, you know, that one snapshot of George Floyd that they put on T-shirts and everything. And that's all that people have from it. But the fact is that there, even before this leak, you had the security video footage, which showed him, you know, being led around, led to the far side of the sidewalk and being sit down against the wall. And of course, when he was being led, he was staggering. He sat down. He intentionally dropped this bag of white powder behind him. And you know, there was a lot of evidence already. And of course, there was his past criminal record, which is public record. There was the porno video. So there was an awful lot of evidence out there already that the narrative was wrong. And then, of course, now you've got, there is all of this body cam footage, which at least some of the officers' defense teams have been trying to get released. And here's the thing, what's going to happen, I mean, I know that the emperor has been able to not just walk down the street naked and not have any boy point at him, but the emperor, the Zog emperor, he doesn't just walk down the street naked. He's walking down the street molesting all, like, every kid he sees, and nobody will say a word. That's what's going on. That's how bad it is. But, you know, will there be a voice in the mainstream to point out how fake this is and stop going on the whole George Floyd bandwagon and say, actually, this isn't an open and shut case of murder by racist cops. These cops were following protocol. This guy was resisting arrest. He had a long record. And of course, Chauvin, whatever the guy's name was, with a knee on the neck, he was head of security, I believe, or he was a security officer at the same establishment where George Floyd was for a short period of time. Employed as a bouncer, and they may well have known each other, or at least this officer may have recognized him and known who he was and known something about his background. All right, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So there is the possibility that the lid is blown off, or the floor drops out from under the George Floyd case, which is supposedly the impetus for this whole Only Black Lives Matter cultural revolution. Well, if they get this going long enough, and people get invested enough in it, maybe they'll get to a point where, well, it doesn't matter about George Floyd's case, because they've already established that there's racial injustice. You go to the AP Network, AP News, apnews.com. AP is the number one newswire. It is the newswire that is the source of news for so many other organizations, whether the TV, radio, newspapers, this newswire, and you know, it's got its international news, it's got its political section, and it's got racial injustice. So racial injustice is a given, but of course, it's fake too. So there's that. What else is going on that could, you know, get the goyim to wake up? Well, you've got this Ghislaine Maxwell thing, and there's been late last week, there was a lot of documents in this case that were released, in particular accusations made by this Virginia Jeffrey, I think that's how you spell her, say her name, and she was back in the 90s. She was 17 years old. I guess now she's in her early 40s, and she's the one that you see pictured next to Prince Andrew, a much younger Prince Andrew. I guess he would have been about 40 at the time. Prince Andrew, and he's got his arm around her waist, and then Ghislaine Maxwell is behind them a pace or two and smiling at the camera. That's a famous shot. And so it's that woman, and it's her testimony, and so she says a lot of things. Now, there was an article in the Daily Stormer written by Andrew Anglin, and Andrew Anglin, for those of you who don't read the Daily Stormer, he has a pretty harsh view of, well, women in general, I suppose you could say. It's kind of part of his thing. You know, he used to be pretty harsh on boomers, and I just took it in stride because two reasons. One is he is such a great newsman, and he is. I mean, he puts out that site and writes so much stuff, and I appreciate it. And two, on the big issues, and like, I don't get too bent out of shape by the anti-boomerism. I don't like it, but I don't get too bent out of shape about it. I'll just take it in stride. And I don't agree with that harsh assessment of women, but again, when you look at the big issues, so right now, what are the big issues we're facing? We're facing, you know, the lockdown, the response to the coronavirus. The coronavirus isn't the problem, but the response to the coronavirus is a big problem, and he's been very good on that. You look at, you know, a lot of issues regarding Jewish power and race relations. He's obviously good on that, but also I've very much appreciated his position on China, because China could easily be a scapegoat slash distraction away from Jewish power, from Zionism, and he is taken on that. And you know, you all know that I talk about that a lot, and I'm very critical of Tucker Carlson because he keeps going back to that. And even was it on Monday's show or was it Friday's show? I think it was Friday's show, one or the other. He had Gordon Chang on again. And Gordon Chang has spent an entire career trying to do regime change on China, which isn't going to happen because China is just a lot bigger, is a massive entity. But it's still not good. It's not good to be promoting hostility towards China. I don't think a regime change of China is likely or even possible. I think a war with China is possible, because a war with China, you can start a war with China unilaterally. You can't unilaterally regime change China, because that requires actions happening within China that you don't have control over. At any rate, so I appreciate Andrew Anglin for these important positions and for the information and analysis he gets out. So I appreciate that. Anyway, he had this article on the information dump, the document dump, from Virginia Jeffrey, and he was making some important points, saying that really the focus of this isn't on the Me Too-ism. It isn't on, it shouldn't really be even, you know, the pedophilia or, you know, the teenage girls being groomed into sex work. That really shouldn't be the focus. Although, and he agrees with me on this, it is important because that will get attention. We're in a stage right now, like last year, you know, like this year, the big thing has been racial injustice. And last year, the big thing was Me Too, right? And so there's still some residual Me Too-ism out there. And the Me Too aspect of this is going to, A, get more attention, and B, it's going to get some people in the establishment, including the media establishment, to be willing to push it, even though the overall Epstein slash Maxwell story is something that's very, very dangerous for the Jewish establishment. But, you know, you've got some Me Too momentum there. But he's saying, well, that's, you know, that's not really the central issue. The central issue is that this was a Mossad operation. And, of course, that's exactly right. Now, he also went on and was saying that these girls like Virginia Giuffre shouldn't be looked at as victims. And regardless of what you think of that, here's the main thing. Well, are they victims? Okay, we'll put that aside. What about the politicians who are being blackmailed? Are they victims? Well, if anybody is a victim, who would be the biggest victim in this whole Ghislaine Maxwell, what's her name? Wasn't Jeffrey Epstein kosher certification? Because it is, I mean, it was a Mossad operation. It's a kosher certification scandal, because they're kosher certifying politicians. And who's the real victim here? And the real victim is you and me. We are the victims. We are the victims because they are doing that in order to take our country away from us. They are doing that in order to put in bought and compromised politicians, right? I mean, every hour you hear a Mike Rivero talking about, you know, a list of things that's going wrong with our society, and on that list he has bought and paid for or compromised politicians. And, well, how are they being compromised? They're being compromised by, I'm sure there's parallel operations, but the Jeffrey Epstein one, this is huge. And who was being caught up in it? Well, apparently Bill Clinton, Al Gore, former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, former presidential candidate Bill Richardson, who was also a cabinet secretary, also the governor of New Mexico. You had, you know, big shot politicians. Donald Trump, when he was associated with Epstein, wasn't a politician. I don't know, because the way I look at this is you had the main objective was to kosher certify politicians or other people who were going to be influential in society. But I think in politicians in particular, because if they were kosher certified, and I think willingly, I don't think they were tricked into this. I think if they willingly gave damning evidence against themselves by having sex with young girls and having it videotaped, this would make them safe. And with the kosher certification, with that big U inside of a circle stamped on their forehead in invisible ink that only certain people can see, that opened the floodgates of campaign contributions and favorable media coverage and other favors from the Jewish establishment. And all of these people, they're all Democrats. There may have been separate operations for Republicans, but these all seem to be Democrats. And you might say, well, what about Donald Trump? I think Donald Trump fell into a different category. I could be wrong on it. I think the main objects were the politicians. Those were the objects of this operation. There were other people who were being used in order, but I think they were more as bait. I think people like the academics, including Alan Dershowitz, but, you know, these other academics from Harvard, who were almost all Jewish. I think they were bait. I think Andrew was bait. I don't think he was a target. I don't think he was an object. I don't think he was a target of this. I think he was bait. That if you have famous people, prestigious people, academics, royalty, billionaires, maybe like Elon Musk. I don't know if Elon Musk ever came. There's pictures of Maxwell with Elon Musk, but I don't know if that had anything to do with Epstein. But Donald Trump, celebrities. I think these people, the celebrities, they were there to make it acceptable for the politicians to come to the functions. And once at the functions, then the kosher certification could take place. I don't think... How do you pay the people who are bait? Well, if they need payment, I think some of it might have just been socializing, but if they, or maybe connection making, who knows? But if they need payment, something like Alan Dershowitz apparently was being paid in kind. He was being paid by access to the young girls because that's what he wanted. And Prince Andrew, apparently, that's what he wanted. Donald Trump, I think, you know, I'm a big fan of Melania, as you all know. On the other hand, that Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump, it's not as if Donald Trump's denying that he did anything with her, and that's gross. I'm sorry. So I don't know. I can't vouch for his taste. I mean, he's got some good taste, but he's also got some bad taste, and so I don't know. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about Trump. And now the Trump thing makes it interesting because just like the Me Too aspect, the potential that Donald Trump might be involved in a way that would be harmful to him is also going to make or lead people in news organizations, mainstream news organizations, they're going to be attracted to it like a moth to the flame. And in spite of the danger, and, you know, I think in the media, there are people who work in the media, and you wonder exactly how much they understand. You know, somebody who's been there their entire career. I used to watch PBS NewsHour. I just can't do it anymore. But I used to watch it, and you see Judy Woodruff, who has been around since the 70s. She was a reporter in the 70s, maybe even earlier. She's about 70 years old now, but I guess it was in the early 70s she got started. And she's been, she's worked for some of the big networks, but I guess she's been at PBS for the past 20 years or something. But where was she before? I think she was CBS earlier, and maybe, you know, local newspapers. And somebody who's been around that long, and as long as they're not completely retarded, would have to know that this is a completely Jewish-dominated field, and that the slant of the news, it's not just a liberal slant. It's a Jewish slant. It is for Jewish group interest. That being said, I think a lot of younger reporters, because how openly could this stuff be talked about? I mean, so I think that absolutely Judy Woodruff knows what's going on. I think absolutely, well, Mark Shields is pretty daft. He's on the same program once a week talking to Judy Woodruff. He's pretty deaf, but you would think he's been around for so long that he would have to know. But the question is, take two people who've been around a long time and have to know what's going on. Do you think that they've ever talked to each other about it? Do you think maybe they even censor themselves when they're talking amongst each other? And so I don't think this is the type of thing that they're all talking about. Sooner or later, they must understand, if they stay in long enough, what they're doing. At some point, they understand. But there are a lot of young reporters who might not just know exactly how... I'm sure there's a lot, because I worked in newsrooms, and they don't know. Certainly the younger reporters don't know. And so if they think that this story is an avenue to get at Donald Trump, they'll go for it. So you have this too. So we have the George Floyd story, which could easily fall apart because there's plenty of evidence showing that the media narrative is wrong. Not just that it's wrong, but it's intentionally wrong. And that was the significance of this NBC News article, or this NBC video with Lester Holt, where they're admitting that they had seen the full body cam video. They'd seen the whole 64 minutes. and yet they continued with their narrative. So it's not just wrong, but it's intentionally wrong. That could fall apart. Also, you've got this Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell thing. It is clearly an Israeli Mossad operation to compromise our politicians and dominate our politics. And they are playing with fire, but, you know, they're playing for high stakes. And right now, you know, they're going for it. They're the Jew d'Etat's in full action. They got the Black Lives Matter, only Black Lives Matter Cultural Revolution going on. So we're living in interesting times.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show. Okay, you might be wondering, what about that bumper music, because I don't use this very often. I've only used it a couple times. This is Ultraman, and I put this together the day I interviewed Ryan Dawson. Ryan Dawson lives in Japan, and he does jiu-jitsu. Ultraman is a superhero, a martial arts superhero that started in the 1960s, and I remember as a kid, you know, on summer vacation, I took swimming lessons at the YMCA and then come back and I'd be, you know, eating my fried bologna sandwich and watching Ultraman at least that one or two summers where we had a TV that could receive UHF, because we always had these TVs, you know, black and white TVs, and we were lucky if we could get all three channels. I remember one of them had trouble getting ABC, but we'd get the three channels, and maybe if we were lucky, we could get a UHF channel. And it was on a UHF channel, and Ultraman, it was a Japanese show, and the guy drew, like when he turned into Ultraman, he was a giant, and he would dress in like a rubber suit and do karate on like Godzilla type creatures. All these creatures that were always attacking Tokyo, which I thought, wow. I mean, I don't want to go there. All those creatures, but that's what the music's from. And I don't know why. Maybe some of you remember Ultraman, maybe you don't. But apparently, it's been going on. It never stopped, so they've been doing Ultraman for the past 50-something years, and so they're, I think the first song I played was the original Ultraman, the one I remember as a kid, but every year or two, they break out a new theme song, and I stumbled across a collection of them, and they're pretty cool. So that was for Ryan Dawson, but I'm doing it today, and now you know all about it. But just to recap, civilization's falling apart. Well, it hasn't quite fallen apart, but it's showing a lot of strains. Why? Well, you've got a Jewish-dominated elite that is that has an agenda, and the agenda is to promote the self-perceived ethnic interests of the Jewish people, which the consensus seems to be that is marginalizing and dispossessing the primarily European people who built the modern world. And, you know, one last thought before we get cut off. There is a podcast, it's called the History of English Podcast, and if you look up historyofenglishpodcast.com, you'll see that there's like 150 hours or so, 140 hours of podcasts on the history of the English language. And, of course, the history of the English language reflects a great deal of the history of the European people. And you'll just see, like, the modern civilization is the achievement primarily of the European people. And yet we've been targeted as enemies by this Jewish elite that is pulling out all the stops. And the year 2020, I'm not saying everything's going to stop in 2020, but things are really coming to a head. And when you're talking about civilization, you're talking about, you know, literally thousands of years, a year, even a decade is kind of like the blink of an eye. But we're heading into some very interesting times. And thank you for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with Jeremy and another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419. Yeah.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.